We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hands in your house, in your car, wherever you are. We're giving you glory and honor, Jesus. That's why we are here. We are here to give Jesus Christ all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, everything, everything. And we haven't even scratched the surface of all that he deserves today. All right, we're going to be looking at his word. I'm very excited to be sharing it with you. Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. Beautiful Plano, Texas. Was a beautiful day. We love each and every one of you. If you don't know where you are somewhere on the interwebs, which could be anywhere. You could be watching cat videos and suddenly end up watching this. It's possible. It's right. In fact, that's why we've done cat series. That is not true, but that's a great idea, isn't it? Are we all on board with that? Not the musical. No, not the musical Cats. But love you guys. We are Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. If you're anywhere near Redemption Church in Plano, Texas, come see us. We love you. We would love to meet you in person. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so glad to be sharing the Word of God with you today. Are you pumped about it? All right, we've been talking about the same Jesus. Say it one more time. The same Jesus. We're in the fourth week of the same Jesus sermon series. In week one, we told you that Jesus is alive, he's unchanged, and he's returning. Not some subpar Jesus, not some Jesus that, you know, is late in his career and he can't quite, you know, hoop on the court anymore. He can't quite hit the high notes. No, the very same powerful Jesus, unchanged, is returning to earth. Week two, we told you that the same Jesus, he still does miracles. He still does them. Number three, week three, we told you that the same Jesus still has the exact same love for you. He feels the exact same way about you as he ever did. And all our messages can be found on our website, redemptionplano.com. They can be found on the Facebook. They can be found on the YouTube or by podcast. You can go subscribe to our podcast, and they just get sent right to your phone. Isn't that cool? Yeah. You can take part of all that. Today, I want to tell you that the same Jesus is the same God. Can you say that with me? The same Jesus is the same God. He is the same God. Everyone say God. God. An important biblical truth is that Jesus is God.
That's right.
That's an important biblical truth. A God-honoring truth is that Jesus is God. It's an important truth, but it's also God-honoring. I want to tell you that it is not belittling to God to say that Jesus is God. In fact, that's what Philippians 2 and 6 says. Thought it not robbery to become equal with God. That's what it says. It's an important biblical truth. It's a God-honoring truth. And here's the last one. It is a true revelation of God when you see Jesus Christ as God. That is actually the true revelation of God. You really don't know God until you know Jesus. And when you know Jesus, that's when you really know God. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? This Jesus that we worship today is the same God we read about in the Old Testament scripture. In other words, we're not talking about something new here. We're not talking about something that just came out fresh and brand new. No, we're actually talking about something ancient. Say not new. Say ancient. Jesus is not something new. He's not a new development. He's not a brand new deity that shows up in the Gospels. He's not a new spin on Jehovah God. He's not a new hip way to reach the young kids. The youngins will bring out Jesus and he's something brand new. No, he's not new at all. He's ancient. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Is that in the New Testament or the Old? It's in the Old Testament. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days, I want to underline that for you, say it, Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. I want to tell you today that Jesus is not something new. Jesus is the Ancient of Days. He is the Ancient of Days that Daniel saw in a vision and prophesied about in the Old Testament. And when John, the disciple, saw his own spiritual vision, and he wrote the book of Revelation, he saw the exact same Ancient of Days. Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. This same vision of the Ancient of Days is revealed in who? It's revealed in our Jesus Christ, who he saw in Revelation chapter 1 among the lampstands, among his church, was no other than Jesus Christ. And when you know it, he looks exactly like the Ancient of Days. Newsflash, Daniel saw our Jesus in that vision, because Jesus Christ is the Ancient of Days. He is the one that's seated on that throne. He is the one in power and in glory with white hair. He is the one. He's not new. Look at somebody say, he ain't new. He's not new. He's the Ancient of Days. The same Jesus is the same God, the Ancient of Days. If we had time, we'd look at those verses in Revelation. Most of those are actual things given to God in the Old Testament. Description of God. His voice is the sound of many waters. What is it saying? It's saying that our Jesus is standing right there. He is the Ancient of Days. He is God.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. This is a few verses later. It's in red letters in your Bible. It says, I am the living one. I was dead. Who could be saying this? Who else but Jesus could be saying this? I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. I hold the keys of death and hell. He's the one who ever lives. Hebrews says he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's the one that is living, but he was dead. You know, it is news to some people that Jesus Christ is God. But this is who is talking to us in Revelation 1. And this is who is showing up to Daniel. Not new, ancient. How ancient are we talking? I don't know. Let's go back to the beginning. Is that ancient enough for you? It's hard to get more ancient than the beginning. Kids, it's even older than your dad. It's that old. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know later, 14 verses later, in chapter 1 of John, verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I like how the King James, every once in a while, I like how King James talks. He says, and he tabernacled with us. Remember the tabernacle in the Old Testament? Jesus isn't a picture of the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a picture of Jesus. Because just as that tabernacle went with the people of God everywhere, and they were visited by the presence of that tabernacle where God's presence was, so did the Word put on flesh, and he tabernacled among us, and he was right in front of our eyes in the beginning. Somebody say, that's ancient. That's ancient. How ancient? Well, Jesus is before all things. Is that enough for you? Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus Christ, he is the ancient one. He is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Now, Marshall, I'm not the science whiz. But they've got these bonds called atoms that they say hold everything together. Isn't that true? Everything is made of atoms, and it's like basically like nucleus and protons and neutrons and electrons. Don't ask me to go further, because Jesus is behind all of that. Jesus is actually the one that is holding everything together. Before they knew what an atom was, before they knew that there was a bond that was holding together all of creation, the writer of Colossians, Paul, declared that our Jesus, from the beginning of time, created it all and has been holding it all together. Are you worried that something's going to fall apart in your life today? Can I declare that from before everything, he's already been holding it all together? I want to speak some encouragement to you. God's got it under control. He's holding it all together. Don't you freak out. Don't you worry. Jesus Christ, the God Almighty, is holding it all together in Jesus' name. The man, Jesus, was born around 2,000 years ago. The man, Jesus, died on the cross at the young age of 33. But the spirit inside the man, that spirit inside the man Jesus Christ, that spirit is eternal. Say amen if you agree. Amen. That spirit is eternal. That spirit is much more older than 33 years old. That spirit goes way back before 2,000 years ago. That spirit is the same God we read about in Genesis 1. You know, your Bible just starts, but that's not when God started. His spirit is eternal. It has no beginning or end. That's why he says, I am the first and I am the last. I am Alpha and I am Omega. Oh, wait, who said that? Your Jesus is the one who said that. That's your Jesus, the ancient one, the eternal one, that somehow put on flesh as a baby and grew up. Oh man, that's our Jesus. I want to tell you that the same Jesus is the same creator. Somebody say the same creator. The same God who created Adam and Eve from the dust of the ground. Yes. That's our Jesus. Yes. He created them out of what? Dust. Out of dust. Out of clay. Out of the dust of the earth. Yes. In John chapter 9, Jesus, our Jesus, he takes the dirt of the ground. He spits in it. He rubs it together. He makes mud. What does he do with the mud? He rubs it on the eyes of a blind man. Blind from birth. Jesus performs a creative miracle, and that man sees for the first time ever. When Jesus took what? He took dirt. This was not the first time he'd been acquainted with dirt. This is the same God who reached down and created Adam and Eve. The same God who reached into that dirt, created mankind, is the same Jesus who reached into the dirt to heal the blind man. Why did he choose dirt? Well, because that's what we're made of. It brings us right back to Genesis 1. But can I also tell you this? Jesus doesn't need anything fancy to create a miracle. The most base stuff. Jesus has never been like, man, I know how to heal you. I'm going to go over to this drugstore and I'm going to special order something. And it's, you know, they're backed up. So it's going to take a few weeks. No, Jesus reaches down and he takes dirt and he changes a life with dirt. Jesus can take anything. Things that you would never think were possible. Things that you would look over. You would actually just step on dirt. It's nothing to write home about. Jesus takes those things because it's never about the thing. It's about Jesus. It's about the Creator. Can I tell you? You listen to me, because some of you are put off by some televangelists. I am right there with you. And you think that miracles don't happen anymore because somebody was a fraud, because somebody was a rich person and maybe womanized somebody or something like that. Wasn't a proper example. But can I tell you, healing is never about the person that lays hands on the person. Let me tell you, the worship we had today was not about the notes that we sang. This message is not about the articulation. The power is in the same spirit that was there in Genesis chapter 1. It was there in John chapter 9. And newsflash, it's right where you are today. The very same Jesus. My God. The same Jesus who spoke to the darkness and commanded light. In Genesis 1. You know, that's the very first day of creation. He speaks to the darkness and he declares, "Let there be light." Well, in John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of all men. And the light shines into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Who's it talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, he spoke into darkness. Now, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has stepped into our darkness. In Genesis, when God creates Adam, God then breathes the breath of life into Adam, and man became a living soul. In John chapter 20, it says that Jesus breathed on his disciples, and he said, what words? Receive. The Holy Spirit. Receive the Spirit of God. He does what? He breathes on them. The same God who breathed life is the same Jesus who breathes new life. In fact, the Greek word for spirit is pneuma. Say pneuma. And it means breath. The word for spirit means breath. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the one who baptizes us with what? The Holy Spirit. Who gives you the Holy Spirit? It is Jesus. And Jesus is that same God who breathes life, physical life, spiritual life. He is the source of all life. The same God who wrote on tablets of stone with his finger. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, imagine God writing in stone with finger. Imagine stone being like finger paints for him. Imagine the hardest mountain rock being like Play-Doh to God's finger. I just love that thought. Is there anything too hard for this guy we call God? Nothing. With his finger, he writes the Ten Commandments, those 10 laws, with his finger. This same Jesus in John chapter 8 was brought a woman who was caught in the act of disobeying God's laws. She was caught disobeying a law that God wrote with his finger in the stone. John chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. The Pharisees said, now, Jesus, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Jesus is the same law-giving God who wrote with his finger on tablets of stone. As Jesus writes with his fingers, he's the lawgiver. They didn't even know who they were trying to start an argument with. They wanted to argue the law with the original lawgiver. Yes. He, with his finger, he begins to write. And as he writes, one by one, all of those women, all of that woman's accusers, they all got up and they all left. Now it's only the accused and the lawgiver. Yes. And he looks at her and he asks her, woman, where are all your accusers? Notice Not for a moment did the woman even say, well, you're still here. Are you accusing me? No, that was the whole point. Jesus was there and he wasn't the accuser. He chased all the accusers away with the same finger that gave the law. And did Jesus forgive that woman? He says, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Can we give it up for this Jesus? Don't you love this Jesus? His finger, y'all. This same Jesus, this same God, writes his law on our hearts now rather than tablets of stone. Hebrews 8 and 10 says this. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. I want you to see the picture that this God who wrote on tablets of stone, now, because you see him with that woman, you see how he treats her and how he loved her, how he forgave her. I believe because you see that, you can trust this same God to come into your life and write goodness, write mercy, write love, write his commandments upon your heart. Am I talking to anybody that Jesus Christ has come and done a work in your heart? That he's come and he's caused you to forgive others, to love others, to surrender and serve others, to love your neighbor. Am I the only one that's received that Jesus? Oh my goodness. It's that same Jesus, that same God, the ancient one. With his finger, he writes on tablets of stone. With his finger, he writes upon the ground. With his finger, he writes upon our hearts. I want to tell you that Jesus' finger is the same finger of God. Yes. He has the finger of God. That's what Luke thought. Luke chapter 11 verse 20. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Yes. That scripture gets weird if this is not his finger. He's like, I'm going to cast out those. Wait a second. Let me get God's finger. I cast you out. It's huge. No, that would be ridiculous. No, when he points, it is the very finger of God. When he writes in your heart, it's the very finger of God. Amen. The same Jesus, he's the same creator. A lot of people have tried to figure out Jesus. Much of the theological writings of the last 2,000 years have been on who Jesus is. Much of it. In fact, when you study the councils and all the arguments that happened around 300 BC, what was that about? Like 90% of it was about who Jesus is. Who is God? Who is Jesus? Who is this Holy Spirit? Who is all of this? What is going on here? And I want to tell you, people still are all over the map on who Jesus is. I'm going to give you some of them. Some people think he's a prophet. Or just a good teacher. Or a good moral person. Here's the thing. They aren't wrong. But he's more than that. Then some people think he's an angel. There's one group that thinks that Jesus is an archangel. They actually think he's the archangel Michael. Now let me tell you, they are dead wrong. 100%. Some people believe that Jesus is the brother of Satan. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've knocked on your door. They believe that Jesus' brother is Lucifer. Some people believe that Jesus is a half-god or a demigod. Remember, Hercules, his father was Zeus, and so he was human, so he's just kind of in the middle. He's a little bit of Zeus. He's a little bit of man. He's a little bit of country. He's a little bit of rock and roll. It was in the notes. I had to say it. That he's half of God and he's half of man. Let me tell you, they're half right. But they are also totally missing it and totally wrong when they say that. Some people think that he is a God, but he's a lesser God. He's a lowercase g God. So it's okay to call him God, but don't think he is the supreme God. Some people think he is a part of God. He is like one third of God. So now we have to know fractions to understand God. He is one third, or he is one half, or he's completely another God entirely, is finally another belief, that he is a second God or a third God. I want to tell you, without any flinching, that there is one God. Amen. There aren't many things that I'm 100% certain of looking in Scripture, but this one, I can build my house on this doctrine. Scripture is very clear to us that there is one God. In fact, you want to say something that is pleasing? You start to declare that there is one God. And now that you've declared that one God, you give that one God your heart. You give that one God your strength. You give that one God your soul. You give that one God your mind. And if you do that, you just completed one of his commandments, the most important commandment. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. They call this the Shema. Shema means hear. And so instead of just quoting the whole scripture, the Hebrew will just say, well, you know, it's the Shema. You know, it's that scripture that starts out here. Here's the verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Israel, how many gods are there? There is one Lord. Redemption Church, how many gods are there? There is one Lord. Isaiah is filled with these verses. Let's hit them very quickly. Isaiah 43, 10 through 11. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room there. There was none before me. There's none behind me. I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. Isaiah 44 and 6. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. He says, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. James chapter 2, verse 19. It says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and they shudder. They just can't even compose themselves because there is one God. Anybody believe that there is one God who has all power, one God whose name's above all, one God who created us, one God who loves us? Hallelujah. We believe in that one God today. Hallelujah. Over and over and over and over, the Bible teaches us that there is only one God. Do not even think for a moment I scratched the surface on all that scripture, but we got to move on. There is one God, and we worship this one God, and there is no one else. That's why you can't turn to idolatry. Worshiping anyone other than the true God is idolatry. Giving your heart to anyone above God is idolatry, because there is one God. This is why your Bible is so clear that he's the only one you listen to and obey and trust and love. Jesus is the same one God. Amen. The same Bible that declares there's one God declares many times that Jesus is the same one God. Isaiah 9 and 6. Anybody ever heard this verse? You hear it every Christmas. Every Christmas it says, for to us a child is born. Nod your head if you know it now. Yeah. For to us a son is born. A child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The child is also the mighty God. The son is also the everlasting Father. Right there, telling us before Jesus has ever come to earth, telling us that he's coming and who he is. John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus is having a discussion with the Pharisees, and he gives them this zinger right here. He says, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." Now, the name of Abraham's God is I Am. And Jesus is declaring that he is the I Am. Did they think this? Yes, they picked up stones to try to kill him because he, being a man, tried to make himself God. But they got it completely backwards. What Jesus is God making himself a man. God making himself a man that would walk in front of us and show us the truth and show us love and show us hope. John chapter 20, verse 28, Thomas, upon seeing Jesus, upon inspecting the nail pierce in his hands, he says these words. He says, "My Lord and my God." Now, do you remember the next verse when Jesus says, "No, don't say that"? No, Jesus doesn't correct him because Thomas didn't need correcting. Right. Thomas needed correcting 5 seconds before that. But once he says, "My Lord and my God," that was ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. That is the truth.
All right.
First John chapter 5, verse 20. We know also that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Who is Jesus? When you are in the Son, you are in God Almighty. When you are in the Son, you are in eternal life. John chapter 14, 8-9. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Hey, Jesus, we don't understand all this stuff. Can you show us the Father? Where is he? Is he around here? Is he going to like pull back a curtain and ta-da, there's the Father? And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen" who? "The Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" In John 10 and 30, Jesus says it this way, "I and the Father are one." At this, the Pharisees once again picked up stones to kill him. When it came to the identity of Jesus, whenever he revealed his true identity, the Pharisees always wanted to pick up stones and destroy him because they didn't want him to be who he was. But he was the way, he was the truth, he was the life, he was the only way to the Father, because when you've come to Jesus, you have come to the Father.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, he says, "I am the Alpha," that's the A, "and I am the Omega," that's the Z, that's letters in the alphabet. "He is the A to the Z and everything in between, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Check it out, red letters in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, one of my favorite verses, it says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And he had provided, when he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." When you see the Son, you are seeing the exact radiance of God's glory. You are seeing the exact visual representation of who God is. Colossians 1 and 15 says this, it this way, he says it this way, "He is the image of the invisible God. God is a spirit, and no man has ever seen a spirit," the Bible says, "but Jesus Christ is housing the Spirit of God, and he has now put an image to the invisible God." 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." God was revealed in the flesh. God showed up in the flesh. We saw the flesh. And when we did, we saw God.
Yeah.
Reading on, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Who but Jesus fulfills all of this? Who ascended into glory? Who was seen by angels? Who was justified in the Spirit? Who was manifest in the flesh? It is Jesus Christ, our same one God.
Amen.
The same Jesus is the same God. We could go on all night because there is no shortage of this truth in your Bible. The Jesus we worship today is not a demi-God. He's not a halfway God. No, the Jesus we worship today is the one true God. I want y'all to preach with me a little bit. When I come to one true God, will you say it? One true God. All right, work with me. The Jesus we worship today is not one of several gods. No, the Jesus we worship today is the one true God. The Jesus we worship today is not just a good man, not just a prophet, not just a teacher. No, the Jesus we worship today is the one true God. Come on, internet, talk to me. The Jesus we worship today is not an angel. He's not a brother of Satan. Nobody is on his level because the Jesus that we worship today is the one true God. He is the same Jesus today that we read about, not just in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is the same Jesus that we read about in Genesis chapter 1. He is the same in every way. The Jesus that we worship today is the one true God. He is the same God. Jesus is proof that you are so well loved by God that God did not just send somebody else to die for you. God himself came and took on the cross for you. That God himself shed his own blood for you. Jesus Christ is proof of it. For you. For you. Jesus is the best. Jesus, you are fully God and somehow fully man.
Yes.
I want to tell you as I'm closing today, beware of any teaching that diminishes Jesus. You listen to me. Oh, God is so thrilled that this is being taught. You listen. Put it in your heart. Beware of any teaching that diminishes who Jesus is. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it. No one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ.
Amen.
For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Beware, it says. See to it that no one takes you captive through any philosophy other than Jesus.
All right, man.
If anybody comes to you with a teaching that lowers who Jesus is and raises up someone else's spiritual know-how or their own thoughts and ideas and lowers Christ, beware of that philosophy. And it follows up that sentence with telling you why. Because in Jesus, all deity dwells. All of God is found where? In Jesus Christ. Listen to me. There are people all over the world looking for God. You find God in Jesus. And when you find Jesus, you find all of God. Not only that, here's I love this part. Not only do you find all of God, you find all of you.
Yes.
What's that last verse say? For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. I want to tell you, when you find Jesus, you find all of God. But also when you find Jesus, you find all that you were ever meant to be. You find who you were called to be. You find who you were created to be, because he's the one who created you in the first place. You find everything you were called to be because he's the one who calls you out of darkness with his light. That's our Jesus. Has anybody found him today? Have you found who you're supposed to be in him today? This world wants to diminish Jesus. If I can just be real with you. They want to put down who Jesus is. Oh, it is all popular to put down Christ as entertainment. That's not new. That's what the cross was. I want to tell you that we must do more than resist diminishing, ridiculing, and lowering Jesus. We have to actually do more than that. It's not enough to just go, you know what? I'm going to turn off that Netflix because it lowered who Jesus was. That's a great start, but I want to encourage you to go so much further than resist ridiculing, diminishing, and lowering him. You have to lift him up. It's not enough to just not lower him. You need to raise him up. You must exalt him. He's been given a name that's above every other name. Then treat his name like it's above every other name. Worship his name. Hold his name in high regard. Jesus, I love you and I love your name. We must worship him. And you know what worship is? Worship is an inauguration. Worship is a coronation. Worship is crowning him, putting him on the throne of your heart, the throne of your life, the throne of your mind, heart, soul, and strength. There can be only one king. That's what worship is. It's saying we have one king, and his name is Jesus, and he is my king, not in some future place, but every day. Lift up who Jesus is. You want to find the will of God? That's it. You want to fall away from God? Start to diminish who Jesus is. I want to tell you right now in this moment, you have a moment where you could lift up who he is in your life. Some of you are in your homes right now. You're with your family. This is a moment where you could gather everyone around you and you could lift up who Jesus is and you could pray with your family. You could call on the name of Jesus right over your household. Some of you in this room, you're right here right now. You can lift up who Jesus is, or you couldn't. You could just go right on, say, Pastor, that was a good sermon. Man, that's some good, man, you had a lot of scriptures in that one. I lost count. It was good. That's not enough. Beware of anything that diminishes Jesus, but it's not enough to just avoid that. You have to be one who lifts him up. Lord Jesus, I want to lift you up in my life. I want to lift you up in my heart, in my mind, in my words. I want you to be lifted up right now in this place. I want you to be lifted up in my home, in my car, in my children, in my marriage, God. Jesus, I want to lift you up. I want to declare who you are at all times. I want to lift you up because you are the same God who loved me in the beginning. And you're right here loving me now. But the difference is now I have the chance to embrace you, and I'm going to do it, Father. I'm going to do it, Jesus, right now.
Jesus, yes.
I want to encourage you today to place Jesus in his rightful place, in the highest place. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is the first, and he is the last. All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Our Jesus is that great. He is that wonderful. Are you ready to talk to him right now in this place? You know what to do. Come on, talk to the Lord in this place. If you want prayer in this place, we want to pray with you. We want to lay hands on your shoulder and call on Jesus. Would you allow us to do that? Come on, church. Come on, church online. Come on, podcasters. Come on. I want you to call on Jesus right now and lift him up. Father, I pray for all my friends watching, listening online. Lord Jesus, you are the same God. Lord, let us lift you up. Let us put you in that rightful place. You are God, and there is none else. You are the Savior. Beside you, there is no Savior. Jesus, I love you. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord in this place. Hallelujah.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.